Buzz, buzz, buzz. And then in June 2010, it stopped and the internet went mad. A few of us started clicking onto the UVB76 live stream provided by Laid. You'll find that at the blog on uvb-76.blogspot.com. We started listening and we started chatting on IRC, and now we're doing a podcast. Good evening, my name's Web Weasel. And with me is...
I'm Anthony. I'm presenting 40 on just about everything. So, hi. Welcome.
And we're doing the first episode of the UVB76 podcast. Welcome. The buzzer has buzzed since 1982, continuously. Non-stop, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. As we said, in June of 2010... buzzer stopped for a moment and the internet went mad. Many people thought that the buzzer was part of the Russian dead man's hand system, designed to set up the nuclear weapons that would destroy the world in the event that it stopped buzzing because it had been destroyed itself. So therefore, a lot of us who grew up under the Cold War have the fear of mutual assured destruction, decided we should start listening and actually pay attention to this and what's going on in the world around us. So, the buzzer. 1997 is the first known broadcast on the buzzer. In Russian voice, it allowed us to take a guess through radio triangulation, which is still stored in web archives on the net, on a site that's now deleted, unfortunately, to assume that the broadcast tower resides in the location of Varvaro, which is to the northeast of Moscow. Since 1997, only three or four genuinely reported messages were ever sent up until about 2006, when activity increased ever so slightly, and maybe one or two were sent this year. Having had a look around the net myself and finding an old Russian site, I think actually about 30 recordings caught during those periods between 97 and 2006, but this can't be verified, so we can't rely on the information. Either way, in 2006, activity increased with the UVB76 call sign. We paused at this point, putting the UVB76 transmission as an example of what was broadcast, because there are a couple of them still available. And then we'll cut back in. In June this year, the buzzer stopped.
Twice,
yep, you're right. And as we said, the internet got very upset. It returned pretty quickly within a couple of days. Anthony, you've got the dates, haven't you?
Yes. Then, June 6th, 5th or 6th, I forget which one it is. The first outage occurred. It was... not many people really knew about the station. A few more people found out, but it really wasn't that big. It was only for a day, but people just still freaked out nevertheless. In, May earlier, somebody on 4chan/X-Paranormal board posted a phone level message.
Yes.
Prophesizing the end of the world with World War III coming in the beginning of September.
The worst bit is, he was right about his predictions that there was going to be activity in North Korea with sinking of a few ships. He actually predicted that, and it happened, scarily enough, even though it was hoax.
He, I believe, predicted the outage of the station, which occurred August 29th, I believe it was, and
yep.
The world flipped upside down.
Yeah. It was out to September the 6th, I think, wasn't it? Or almost a whole week.
It was about 2 weeks, I think, actually. Because I remember I was in school and it still wasn't there, and it hit return. I think it actually was the 13th of September.
That was something about that period, yeah.
And then it went out 2 days later. Again.
And, yeah, lots of speculation on the internet. Most people saying they were probably upgrading equipment. But when it came to that, there was an interesting change. We had the new call sign that we hadn't heard before. Mikhail Dmitry Zhenya Boris. MDZHB.
Mikhail Dmitry Zhenya Boris. 23485. Pavel Roman Olga Leonid Elena Tatiana Konstantin Anna 99-95-09-75 Tatiana Roman Olga Ivan Kratky Mikhail Anna 57-80-24-01.
The messages were in the same format as the previous UVB76 messages, but this time a new call sign and repeated messages
daily.
At least once a day from that period forwards. So now we had something to monitor that wasn't once every 4 or 5 years, if we were lucky. It was something we could hear every day and start recording, transcribing, and discussing online. There's been a few more interruptions over the last month or so, and it's been interesting. The buzz has been off for the last 4 or 5 days.
Yeah, about a week or so. It left us on the 28th, and then it went came back just the other day on the 5th, was it? Yeah.
Yep, that's it. We still have voice broadcast during this time. At the 3 o'clock UTC, every day, there has been a voice broadcast. There's been a couple out of session in the evening, and one or two that have been immediately afterwards, but we've had a daily voice message. At this point, it was probably where we needed to have taken a note of the ones we wanted to mention, like done a list of the ones where there have been two on a day, that kind of thing.
There was one day in October where there was actually 7 in one day, all within yep. about 3 or 4 hours of each other, which made a few people suspicious, but not many people knew about it, because the big interest in the station died off by then.
Well, exactly, but at this point we'd start transcoding it and having a look into them. Either way, okay. We've started to transcribe them, and we've got a guy online called Danix, who was hopefully going to be joining us on the podcast, but unfortunately was otherwise detained to this evening. We've been getting him to translate, as he speaks Slavic language and can understand Russian numbers. And with a posting of the Russian phonetic alphabet, we've been able to describe 99% of the messages now, where they've come through clearly. So we only have one or two perhaps missing characters from the majority of the messages. So we've got a whole table build up, and we start looking at the style and format. Now, the interesting thing is we've noticed a couple of times there have been repeated numbers in the messages. Now, this gets particularly interesting. We can only begin to speculate as to what the messages really mean, but usually messages sent in this format are sent from a series of systems that are used by spies in the espionage field of number stations. Number stations broadcast coded messages to spies to advise them of their new orders in the field.
However, there would be a problem if this station was in fact a number station for spies, due to the fact that each message probably lasts 2 to 5 minutes, and typical number station messages last up to an hour. And that just gets a really short single sentence across. So if it even is a one-time pad, it's highly unlikely that it's even a spy station, more of over a military station or something, with just something small to say.
Absolutely correct. The amount of information being transferred in these messages is absolutely minor, hence why there's speculations about how else the data may be transmitted. Many looking into the analysis on a sonograph of the UVB-76 vibration itself, of the buzzer, noticing cycles and patterns of volume and modulation of pitch. Some have speculated that there may be data actually being transmitted. Myself, I am rather sceptical because I work in computing. I've seen data transmissions done through audio and radio and mobile phone systems, and it doesn't feel like data to me. The data rate would be so small as to be ineffective, as the message is being sent by voice. There's just not enough there to actually communicate anything meaningful. However,
it could always be something like BPSK. BPSK.
Yeah. I just feel, you know, if you're doing something and you're transmitting data, this isn't the way to go about it. But, you know, I could be completely wrong. I'm open-minded to any evidence that can be presented. So. Either way, there are several theories. Number stations broadcasting messages to spies. We'll have a bad discussion about cryptography a little bit later. There's also the theory of ionospheric research, looking at the changing patterns in the ionosphere and how that affects radio propagation. In fact, what's actually suggested is not how it affects radio propagation, although that is a use for the particular range it's being used for, is also suggested that rather than radio, it's actually mapping the shape of the ionosphere itself, because the received signals will be dictated by the distortions of the magnetic field of the Earth, which of course change the height, width, depth, etc. properties of the ionosphere. So it could possibly be used as a mapping tool, which is very interesting.
Always help us with tuning into our beautiful voice of Russia.
Yeah, it could be simple as radio propagation. It's been suggested in a Russian scientific journal that the frequency that UVB-76 is broadcast at
4.625 megahertz.
Thank you very much. Is exactly the frequency needed to create radio waves that will bounce off at the angle of the ionosphere to form a mapping facility. However, this is also exactly the same frequency you'd need to test radio propagation due to the ionosphere. So, multiple uses from one system. One thing we've been looking at ourselves through various software analysis programs is the possibility that there's a digital signature stored within each buzz itself. In the 1970s and 80s, one of the things that was noticeable if you used a telephone or shortwave radio within Europe or even America is you would pick up a repeating tone going pip, 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 known as the woodpecker. This was an over-the-horizon radar system used by the Russians to detect missile launches from American bases. Quite an impressive piece of technology. If you have a look online and search for Duga 3, you will see, that's Duga-3, you will see amazing pictures of a gigantic construction near Chernobyl in the Ukraine of the over-the-horizon radar system.
And
go ahead.
I'd like to describe how this works.
Go for it.
The way that it works is, please correct me if I'm wrong. With each pulse of the over the horizon signal, there is a short little binary code, which, with the nature of it, is because of how it's reflected, it gets received again, and Please continue. I completely lost my train of thought.
No, that's fine. You were spot on. Each binary code is unique. So each wave being sent from the over-horizon radar sender is unique. Because there'll be multiple reflections coming back as it bounces off the ionosphere onto the Earth and up again, and they'll come back at different times, this means that you have to reorder the waves as they come back to the receiver, because the further ones that travel will take longer to come back. This takes quite an immense amount of computing power, but it's much easier if you can identify each wave individually, allowing you to reorder them in the time sequence and therefore work out whether a missile launch is happening or not. Hence, The Over the Horizon radar has a unique digital signature for each wave. So we've been looking into the possibility that UVD76
mind control.
Yes, that is a theory. It is used for mind control. It was confirmed by the Russian government. That's all. Thank you. No comments.
It's even a possibility. I mean, who knows what the power of the mind is? Either way. Either way. Hey, well, look, there's some theories out there saying that the rather hot spy Anna Chapman was caught listening to UVB76. I don't believe it myself. But,
yeah, no, you can't receive it from over here. Trust me, I've received it once. And it was two buttons. And hams have trouble picking up. So if she could do it, she must be a genius. The spies that use conversations use MAA from Cuba.
Yep, so I've heard. As we say, the internet rumor mill strikes and fails again. Either way, to get back on point, we've been looking at the analysis of the wave itself. Neither of us being, of course, sound or technical engineers in broadcasting systems, it's a bit difficult for us to really know what we're doing. But we're having a play and we're having a look, and we're trying to identify the pattern that we see within the system. Interestingly, on sonograph, we noticed that there's 17 distinct marks highlighted within the spectrum itself. We'll post an image online on the forum so that you can see. Particularly, speaking of which, the UVB76 forum is where to find us if you want to chat and discuss. That's uvb76.freeforums.org. Anyway, the sonogram, 17 distinct peaks, is displayed within the pulse that would easily be read by a computer if it was receiving it in data in some way. So you could suggest that there was a 16-bit transmission with a 1-bit parity bit on top of it to indicate. However, looking at the amplitude and volume, the lower volume, the top 8 bits are so unreadable as to be useless and therefore should only be read as nulls, which leads me to believe that recognizing it as a 16 or 17-bit system is probably misguided.
But how they aren't they using? They must be using a Super Nintendo to power it then. It's probably just somebody with a faulty game, I think.
Wasn't the SNES 16-bit and the NES 8-bit?
Yes, it was.
Ah, joke fail.
Yeah, I admit defeat.
I've lost the point now. Where was I going with this?
I have no clue.
8-bit in the sonograph. That was it. Looking at it otherwise, one thing that's particularly noticeable when you get a clear signal, which we've managed to achieve several hours worth of recording of transmissions where it's been perfectly clear, with no interference, is that it does change both pitch, modulation, and volume at alternate cycles. So, the volume's not going up and down randomly, it's cycling up and down through a set pattern, as is the exact tone of the note from a slightly deep to slightly high-pitched note. It's also going through another cycle. They're not in sync perfectly, but it seems there are 5 or 6 distinct tones at least, and 5 or 6 distinct volume levels that are being broadcast, which is interesting. This seems to be a deliberate act rather than a mistake in any way. So it must be assumed that if some experiment is happening, then the change in volume, the change in pitch, are definitely related to the experiment that's going on.
However, what I've been thinking, I've just come up with this really recently, in fact just now. If it were indeed some sort of radar system, think of all the data that is being processed right now from it. It's unthinkable, really. How long it's been going on.
Yeah, I mean, you've got 28 years, is it? 1982, 28 years. Yeah, 28 years worth of whatever data that's been recorded, it is recording in the experiment. They must have a huge amount of information. And Russia's got some decent computing systems stored way back there. I wonder what they're doing. Very cool. Okay, so we're going to wrap it up for the show today. This is a first time doing this, we thought we'd just get together on a Skype conversation, have a chat about UVB76 as an introduction to everybody, and what we've been up to the last couple of months. So thanks very much for listening. I've really enjoyed myself. I hope you two have as well, Anthony.
I have indeed. Hope we can keep doing this and keep going on.
We are going to give Lade a shout, the guy who provides the UVB6 online repeater. See if we can get him on the next episode, give him an interview, and let us get him to tell us why he's into this in the first place. Obviously the same reason all of us are, probably the same reason that you're listening to this right now, is just plain curiosity. You want to know why. We're also going to do a few bits on number stations in general, so we'll be talking about cryptography a bit more in depth, giving a description of how one-time pads and encoded messages and number stations work, and what they're for. And we'll look to the future, see what else we can do. We're going to have a look at the CONET project, give you some examples of other number stations. We've got a lot of material planned for the next few shows at least, so if you've enjoyed, come back. Thank you very much for listening.
See ya, and on that note, WikiLeaks.